I thoroughly enjoyed that song. Thank you so much. It brought tears to my eyes. God bless you. I'm so happy to be here this morning to share with you. I want you to know that I pray for you very regularly in this transition time, that God will be close to you and lead you and direct you and meet your every need. So please be assured of my prayers, and I'm sure others are praying as well. Well, this morning I want us to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I want to speak to you this morning on the 40 days between Easter and Ascension or Pentecost. Pentecost would be 50 days. Ascension Day this year would be on Thursday of this week, be 40 days after Easter. And Pentecost, of course, was 50 days after the Passover, and the first Sunday of June will be Pentecost Sunday. I know we don't celebrate those as much as sometimes the church has in the past, but they're great lessons to be learned. And I felt like that in those 40 days, between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, those were days that were special to the apostles and to the Christians at that time. And maybe in some ways it parallels some of the things that we're going through today. So I want to just visit with you about that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us today, and we thank you for the Bible and for the great hope we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've made a way for the forgiveness of sin, and you have planned and you have made a heaven for us, and you've given us the way to get there. Lord, what more could we want? I pray that you'll help us to love you today because you've so first loved us. Meet our needs as individuals, the burdens that each of us may be carrying, the joys or the sorrows that we carry as well. We pray that you'll help us to be alert and awake to your working in our lives and the lives of those around us. Bless this church. Bless them especially as they think of the transition for a new pastor and for Pastor Terry. We ask that you'll meet each of their needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, does it feel like to you that we are living in kind of uncertain days? It sure does to me. And things change by the minute. And here we are. What gas prices a year ago were $1.50, $1.70. And the other day I heard about a fellow who filled his gas tank for $22. Of course, it was his lawnmower. So things have changed a great deal in this last year or two. My wife and I were married in 1961. We celebrated our 60th anniversary while she was in the rest home several months ago. And somebody had sent us on our 40th anniversary some things that were in 1961 when we got married. The average income was $5,315 a year. Mine was about half that. And to think that I brought a bride into that, I have... was an assistant pastor. I think I got $40 a week, and then 25 more from a little church plant that they were trying to plant about 45 miles away. So I had a lot of miles to drive. There was no benefits, no mileage, no health insurance, nothing. That was it. And how could I bring a bride into that? I'm ashamed of myself now. A new car you could buy for less than $3,000. Of course, it probably didn't have air conditioning, didn't have power steering, didn't have four wheels and a steering wheel. And a loaf of bread was 21 cents, and gas was 27 cents. I remember it being in the teens if you got a gas war going on. So things have changed, haven't they? I know I'm an old man, and they've changed in my lifetime, but they've probably changed in yours if you've got a few years on you. And these changes aren't always the most comfortable, and I'm sure the disciples, in many ways, kind of felt that way after the resurrection of Jesus. They had anticipated a Jewish king who would bring in the kingdom. And that's what they were looking for, and they didn't get that. And by the way, we don't always get everything that we pray for either and want. I listened to a message this week about Jesus' death on the cross when he cried out in those 3 hours of darkness, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What was that like? I don't know. We don't know. And yet we expect to go through life with ease, and we expect every prayer to be answered. I believe in answered prayer, but I don't think God always answers every prayer that we seemingly demand that he answer. And so they were bewildered. What were they going to do? So in Acts chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "To whom also he has showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And verse 4 and following tell us that as they were assembled together, they asked the question also, "Now, Lord, when are you going to bring in the kingdom? When is it going to be?" Well, Jesus said, "Well, first, you need to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He will come and he will fill you. And you will be witnesses," as we find in verse 8, "in Jerusalem and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." That will be your job to do. And you need to wait until that happens. Well, it came 10 days after this. And in the meantime, as he said this, he was ascended up into heaven. And of course, he's on the right hand of God today. So during those 40 years, I want us to take a brief overview of some of the things that happened during that time. First of all, I'd like to point out the 40 days here. After 40 in the Bible is quite a number. It starts out primarily back in Genesis with the great flood. 40 days and 40 nights it rained and it covered the earth. And as you go through the Bible, the term 40 is associated, for example, with Moses, who was in the first 40 years of his life, he was kind of an Egyptian, and then he was sent to the back desert for another 40 years. And then after that, he became the leader of Israel to get out of Egypt. And after they got out of Egypt, and by the way, the 40 associated with that probably has to do with the idea of trial and testing and also blessing at the end of it. So Israel refused. The majority voted, of these 12 spies voted, that they could not go into the promised land because the enemies were so great. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Yeah, we can do it because God promised it. So let's go." "No, we can't do it." So the Lord said, "Okay, you stay here." For 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness until all the people aged 20 and over had passed away during those 40 years. And then God brought them out miraculously. All the judgments upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh are recorded in the Bible. And that's a big thing in the Bible. You read it in Deuteronomy, you read it in the book of Acts. That was a great event. But you know, in the grace of God, he also took care of his people while they were in that 40 years. Even though some of them needed to die, God took care of his people. And they came out on the other side into the promised land. Well, Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that? Before his ministry really began. So 40 years seems to speak of a time of testing. Sometimes it's time of kind of punishment. And then at the end of that, there's a blessing. Now, I thought about this before I thought about the 40 years of your pastor being here. I sure hope there's not a connection that you're trying to make with this. It has nothing to do with it. I didn't even think about that when I decided that I'd like to bring this message. So, difficulty. And we may be going through difficulties as well. So, the disciples and the followers of Jesus were kind of confused during this 40 days. And Jesus had told them in the book of Matthew, before he went to the cross, the night he was betrayed, he said, "Now, they're going to crucify me. I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'll meet you back in Galilee." Now, Galilee is about 85 miles from Jerusalem. I'll meet you back there. Most of Jesus' ministry was in Galilee. He spent his time there, by the way, sometimes called Galilee of the Gentiles, because it bumped up against a lot of Gentile people, showing us that Jesus came for the world, the sins of the world, Jew and Gentile both. Well, that's exactly what happened. But here, I want us to go. The first human being that saw Jesus after the resurrection is recorded for us in the book of John, and it's in chapter 20. Remember, Jesus was crucified, and the ladies watched very carefully where he was laid, and they made preparation on the first day of the week. They would come and they would anoint his body with spices. They did not do so on the Sabbath day. They would give that a rest. So in John chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple," which was probably John, "whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Well, the sequence seems to be that Peter and John both went to the grave. And by the way, it seems to me, it's kind of comical, I think, that John outran Peter to get to the grave. Well, John was younger, and Peter may have been eating too much fish and hush puppies. I don't know, and got a little big. But he didn't make it as quick. So they both go, and they look in, and they leave, apparently. But, verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is, say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Now think of this. Mary Magdalene is the first human being to whom Jesus showed himself after he was raised from the dead. You know, there are many beautiful passages in the Bible about Jesus' relationship to women And we have all this divisive stuff in our country today. And sometimes even in the church, people saying, you know, well, the Bible doesn't give women equal chance in the Bible. They're not equal to men. Well, men and women are different. And a man can never have a child. And a woman can never father one. I think we have to remember that. Our society doesn't quite seem to understand that. They're different. They have different roles to speak. But this is a beautiful illustration, I think, of the faith of this woman. Apparently, Peter and John left. They went back home. But she stayed. And you know, sometimes when we don't understand, we need to just stay close to Jesus. That's all. Don't leave. I read about a lady whose husband had a seizure during the night. I think it was 40 years old, something like that, and died. The next morning, she had to tell her young children that their father was dead. And she told them, now you can either get mad at God or you can get close to God. And when we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, we need to do what Mary did. Just stay there. Stay close to the Lord. Ask the Lord to be close to you. Ask His presence to be close to you. And surely the Lord is there. So she stayed. So stay close. No matter what happens, just stay close. Well, we go back to Sunday, the first day of the week that they came, and apparently on the Damascus Road, we find two men that were walking along in Luke 24, and we'll not have time to read all of this, but in Luke chapter 24, they're walking along. You know the story, and Jesus walks with them, just kind of appears, and they're talking about the events that had happened there during the day, or the day before, rather, on Friday before this, and I'm talking about the day after the resurrection now. And they're talking about, you know, and they don't understand it, and they're frustrated. And Jesus is visiting with them. And Jesus now walks with them, and he said, well, why are you so sad? And then they told him all that was happening. And the Bible says, again, in verse 22, it says, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And they testified that he was raised from the dead. And they were shaking their heads. You know, if that's true, why haven't we seen him, so to speak? And in verse 25, it says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, there's a lesson there as well. What did he say? He expounded to them the scriptures. And when we don't understand and things are difficult, let's stay close to the Bible. Let's stay close to the Bible. Read the Bible. Just ask God to speak to you. And you'll see things that you maybe have never seen before. Stay in the Psalms. Stay in the Gospels. It's wonderful to read how Jesus was compassionate and concerned and wanted to help people in need. And we come to him with our needs, and we can be assured that he's close by and that he's a sympathetic Savior, even if we don't see the answers at the time. And so when our world doesn't make sense, he said, you should have believed the scriptures. Do you have trouble sometimes believing? Do you have trouble with your faith? I do. And I'm reminded of the illustration that has encouraged me so much. I believe it's in Mark chapter 9, where a man comes to Jesus and he's got a son that's got a problem, and Jesus said something to the fact, well, if you believe, and the man said, yeah, I do believe, but would you help my unbelief? I do believe, I'm doing the best I can, but would you help me to believe? And he wants us to pray that way, and he wants to answer those kind of prayers. Well, there's a lot of events, so we just hurry on. In John 20, again, on the first day, we might say the day of the resurrection, so to speak, that evening, the disciples have met together, and Jesus meets them, you know, miraculously. He appears unto them, and John 20, verse 19 says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And another lesson, Jesus is not perhaps as far away as we think he is when we don't understand, when it seems like our prayers just don't get anywhere. He does know. And here he appears, and for a moment, Scripture says they were so happy to see him. Well, as you know, there was one there that one disciple was missing in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And he makes quite a statement. He said, if I don't see in his hands this print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas also could not believe. Well, as you know, as the story goes on, the next Sunday night, he meets with the disciples. I think down deep he's thinking, you know, they said he was there. Maybe he'll come again. Maybe he had a little bit of faith. I don't know, just a little bit. And so he's there. And as you know the story, Jesus does come. And even doubting Thomas is treated so tenderly by the Lord. Jesus simply says to him, he says, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Notice here that Jesus does not reprimand Thomas for his unbelief. He deals with him very tenderly. He says, Thomas, you needed proof. Here it is. Tradition tells us that Thomas went to the east, maybe back to the country of somewhere out in India, and lived his life preaching the gospel. So the Lord is patient with us. He's compassionate with us. And we need to respond to him as he meets our needs and takes care of us. These are some of the lessons we can learn from this. And then as we go on, another incident we have recorded for us is in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll just share it with you. You remember in that great chapter where Paul is defending the resurrection. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 6, it says that he was seen of more than 500 people, witnesses at one time. More than 500. Also, in this same passage, and he was seen of James in verse 7. That James is probably the half-brother of Jesus. And if you go back to John chapter 7, I believe it is, where the Bible says very clearly that Jesus family, his siblings, did not believe in him. But he appears to that to James, one of his half-brothers, and he's the one that also gives us the epistle of James. So I don't know when he believed. Perhaps it was here when he believed and his life was changed. And of course, he became a gospel preacher, as we would say today. So 500. God has given us a verifiable witness about his son. 500 witnesses all saying the same thing. Seems like it ought to be pretty good. In a court of witnesses today, you know, if you can get two witnesses, it's usually a pretty ironclad case. In Jewish law, it required at least two, if not three, witnesses to establish verity of a truth, especially it having to do with the punishment of someone. 500, he says at once, he said, and most of them are still living. In other words, it was a group of people at the time that Paul was writing that, which was some years later. So Jesus, and we don't know when that was. It's not recorded for us in the Bible. We have no idea when it happened, but it was happened during these 40 days. So the Lord was, I think, testing his disciples. He was asking them to believe what he was telling them. Well, let's go on then. We've got to get to Galilee as well. In John chapter 21, there's quite an interesting story about Jesus being, of course, at the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were there. And it's there in chapter 21 where in verse 3 it says, and by the way, there were seven disciples of Jesus. Several of them are named here in this passage. And Jesus said to them, he said, well, I'm going to go fishing. And they said, if you're going to go fishing, we'll go with you. So during this 40 days, Jesus appears to them, but it's not like every day, and it's not like long periods of time. And Peter probably decided that nothing else was going to happen, so he needed to get back to fishing. Maybe he needed some income. So I'm going fishing. And they said, well, okay, we'll help you. So they go fishing, and they fish all night, don't catch a thing in verse 3. In the morning, they come to the shore, and they see Jesus there. And Jesus said, have you caught anything? They didn't know who it was, and they said, no. Well, he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. Well, miraculously, they obeyed, and they caught a big net of fish. Bible counts it in verse 11 as 153. And by this time, Peter recognizes that a miracle took place, and he jumps out of the boat and wants to get to Jesus as fast as he can. There's a lesson in that. Get to Christ as fast as you can in every kind of a situation. And so as they bring these fish to shore, Jesus has provided for them on some hot coals there, some fish that are already cooked, and they ate. He gave them food to eat, not of what they had caught, but what he had prepared for them. And then in verse 15, the story here says, after they dined, Jesus said to Peter, he said, do you love me more than these? And you know that story. Do you love me more than these? And I guess there's been a debate, more than the fish or more than the other disciples. Doesn't make any difference. And three times Jesus will say to him, and in the Greek it has a little play on words there that I don't even want to suggest that I think have meaning, but Jesus said, he said, do you love me? And he said, and each time Jesus gave him a job to do. In verse 15, it says, Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. He asked him again the second time. Verse 16. Then he said, well, feed my sheep. And then he said the third time, again in verse 17, he said, feed my sheep. Now, what's happening here? What's happening in all this? Well, let me ask you, do you remember how many times Peter denied Jesus? Do you suppose there's any connection with that? I think that's really the point here. I think Jesus is trying to say, Peter, yeah, you failed. You also repented. He went out and wept bitterly. And probably thought whatever job that God had for him was over with because he had failed so much. And I think Jesus was saying, Peter, I've got a job for you. Get back to the job. You left your net previously to follow me. Now I want you to keep on now. The past is the past. I have forgiven you. Now I want you to go on. And we have to also be reminded that no matter what our past has been, no matter what our failures have been, our sin has been, if we confess it to God and get right with God, He still has a job for us to do. He still has a life for us to live. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to honor Him. And Peter, I believe, got the job. And on the day of Pentecost, of course, you know how he became a great preacher. So these are some of the things that happened. And of course, as Jesus ascended back to heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus, which you've seen go into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go up. And that will happen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it happened in your lifetime, my lifetime? I'd like to see it. He will come. He will ascend from heaven. Today, when a person passes away, we say they've died, but in a sense, we ought to say they've ascended. They've ascended to heaven. They're there. Believers, I'm talking about. They've ascended. But Jesus will descend from heaven. And the Bible says, and we shall be caught up together. The dead in Christ shall rise and be caught up together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So if you feel yourself sometime in a situation where you're not sure God can use you, let's be assured that if we have our hearts clean before Him, Jesus is saying, I've got a job for you to do. Do the job. Be faithful. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your mercies and your grace, which are new every day. We thank you for your tenderness with your own. We thank you for that you loved your disciples. We thank you that there on the mount in Galilee, you also gave them a command, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Help us to be faithful in that. Help us to trust you. Bless these dear people, bless this church, bless the needs they have, bless every person here. May their hearts be open to you, and may they have a relationship to you that is living and vital, and that they sense your grace in their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.